Welcome to the Grappling Discourse Podcast. I'm your host, Matt Scaff, and today I am joined by the lovely Mary Barron. Mary is a blue belt out of 10th Planet Austin. She has been killing it. I watched her match on Third Coast Grappling recently. Her clothing line, she has a clothing line where she produces rash guards and spats, and her designs are super cool. I love the kind of old school Texas theme that you got going on. But Mary, pleasure to have you on today. I want to start by just asking you how you found Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu and when did you fall in love with it? When did it become a passion of yours?
Well, first of all, thank you for having me. It's always fun for me to do these podcasts. I feel like it kind of gives me a chance to, I guess, let people really get to know me on my terms, you know? So thank you. As far as how I discovered Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, I was so I'm from Kentucky, and I lived in Kentucky since I was about 18. Then I moved to Alabama. I was in Alabama and or the panhandle of Florida for like 8 years. And then I moved back to Kentucky for about a year before I came to Austin, because I came to Austin for grad school. So I moved back to Kentucky to take some prereqs for grad school. And while I was there, I was dating a guy who was going to Nice Guys gym, which is Bobby Emmons's gym. You know, Bobby. Love Bobby. He's so fun. Love Bobby's Instagram page, by the way. White Trash BJJ, I think is what it is. Bobby's great. And so he was doing it while I was in Kentucky. He never really invited me to it, or I don't know why I didn't do it while I was there. I don't even remember having an interest in being like, yeah, I want to go try that. He didn't really explain much of it to me. He just told me he did it. But when I moved to Austin, that guy came to visit me, and he had been following 10th Planet, and he pulled me away from studying one day. I was like, I really want you to go to this gym with me. And I remember fighting him on it, cause I had a big anatomy test coming up, and I was like, bro, I cannot, like, I'm so stressed out. He's like, just go. Like, we never used to spend time together. So I went and fucking loved it. Like, it was so great. Remember the owner, Curtis, though, he wouldn't let me train with Nick because Nick was so big, the guy I was seeing at the time. He's such a big dude. So he put me with like one of the smaller guys, and I loved it. But I couldn't go back for like a couple years, like until I was done with grad school. Grad school was just so strenuous. Like, there was just no time. So even though my relationship with that guy didn't continue much longer after that, like I was so glad that he introduced me to it. Because as soon as I graduated grad school, instead of looking for a job, my top thing that I wanted to do was go try jiu-jitsu again. So for 3 months, I did not work. I didn't go to school. I was done. I just went to 10th Planet and I just trained. And I remember I wore socks my first day. Because I used to be a pure bar instructor. It's like a bar-based workout. I did that for like 8 years. I co-owned some studios in South Alabama before I have my current job as an occupational therapist. And we wear socks in the studio. And so I just thought, I don't know, I had like grippy socks on. And I mean, you know how people come in on their first day. They don't know what they're doing or wearing. But so I started training. And Priscilla, Curtis's wife now, she kind of took me under her wing. People probably know her as Nogi Pris on Instagram. She's one of the girls who probably first got big in the jiu-jitsu world on Instagram. She posted all 10th Planet warm-ups with Curtis like all the time and really blew up. And she took me under her wing, and I'd go to practice, and then I'd stay with her for like 2 hours and drill warm-ups. And we'd drill them for video. She was like, look, if you want to get good, you should really start videoing yourself, because one, you can see what you're doing wrong, and two, you're not going to post something that looks really shitty. So we got reps after reps after reps, and she's kind of a perfectionist, which was great, because it helped me very quickly start to understand the technique a little bit more than maybe a standard white belt would. And she started putting me in her videos, and then that's how the whole Instagram thing got started. Like, overnight, I had like 6,000 more followers. It was kind of crazy. So then I just started training all the time. And then even when I got a job, I just kept training and kept training. So that's kind of how I fell in love with it. I found the right gym for me. I found the right people for me. The same week I started, so did my friend Lauren Brandt. A lot of people know her as Lauren Burr. She's my roommate. I call her my jiu-jitsu wifey. She's in a lot of the videos with me, and we didn't know each other before. We just started the same week and we really clicked. So then right there, I had a training partner. And then a couple of the girls kind of who had been there before us, and then a couple new girls started. We just clicked. It was the first time in my life I had more like female friends than male friends, and they're bad bitches. Like, they're awesome, you know? Like, we're like-minded and we have each other's back. Like, it's not catty, you know, it's very a solid group of women. And I don't know, the whole community, especially the women, just really like kept me in there, you know? And then just in general, I just really like being aggressive. I grew up with four brothers and we'd wrestle a lot growing up. And I've always been in sports. I went to college for sports. I tried to join the wrestling team in high school, but my dad's very old school. He's like, you got to wear onesie spandex and wrestle with boys. Hell no. So thanks a lot, Dad. It would have been a lot better if I'd had a little wrestling background, you know. But I also look at it like this too. So I'm an occupational therapist and we look a lot at like sensory integration, and I could really geek out on that, but you know, I have ADHD, and so like any kind of deep compression on the body, whether it's a weighted blanket or a human body or any type of that type of cross body activity, it's very stimulating to the brain, and it almost for like the next day, like helps regulate your thought patterns, helps regulate your focus. It's really interesting. It's something I look at through the lens of an occupational therapist and see like how beneficial it is to put kids in it, because of what it can do for their gross motor patterns and the development of their brain. And then I see how that translates over as an adult as well. It's my little soapbox on geeking out on it. But yeah, that's how I fell in love with it. You know, love the sport, love the community.
Yeah, that's an amazing story. And I think it's so funny that, you know, you found your roommate, Lauren, you know, and you guys kind of became best friends through that. It almost sounds like it was kind of meant to be. I always love those kind of like destiny, like, oh man, like you find yourself in the right place, right time. But you're at 10th Planet Austin, and 10th Planet Austin has a really unique vibe. I've trained with a handful of people from 10th Planet Austin. I've personally never been, but I know tons of people that have been and trained there. I've had students go and train at 10th Planet Austin, and they always talk about the vibe, because the vibe is very different, I think, than most jiu-jitsu gyms or even the 10th Planet. Can you kind of explain what it's like to train at 10th Planet Austin and what makes it so unique?
This is always a weird question for me, because I've only ever trained at 10th Planet Austin, right? Mm-hmm. So I've cross-trained a little bit, like Val, I've cross-trained once at Paragon. I've gone to a gym down in Destin like once or twice when I'm on vacation. But like, this is my home gym. Like, I don't know any other gym. So for me, I mean, the vibe there, I think, is what we make it. So for instance, I really like to make people feel welcome. How my mom is, I feel like that kind of something she's instilled in me. So like, I want to be welcomed when I come someplace. I want to feel made comfortable. I want people to be like, here's an open door, come back, like, as long as you're not being, you know, creepy or aggressive or anything like that, like, here's our family, like, join. And so I hope that's what people feel like when they come. We're also, I feel like we're kind of laid back compared to what I've heard about other gyms and even other 10th Planets. So for instance, one thing I really like is I'll try to go to the lunch classes in the middle of the day, but I have patients and I don't always know when I'm going to get done with that patient. So I may show up to class 30 minutes late and nobody's yelling at me. Nobody's looking at me funny. Nobody's like, go run laps, or they're just like, we're happy you're here. Come on. You know, like, that's something I love, because I'm notoriously late, like notoriously late. And then also just like with my schedule and my job, it is difficult for me if I want to come in the middle of the day to get there on time. But like, no, like today I showed up like last 10 minutes of class and I just stayed enrolled. Like, I knew I wasn't going to be able to make it to class, but they're just like, literally courtesy, just like, dude, we're glad you're here. Jump in, you know? So if that's part of the vibe, I think that's probably different than other schools. I don't know how other schools are, but I'm very thankful about that. I also like how, I think probably a lot of schools are very focused on competition. And we definitely have like a competition, people who compete and are serious about competing. But I think Curtis also sees it as what it is. It's also a business, you know, not every single one of your I can't speak for him, but this is how I see it as somebody who's also run a business herself, is like, you know, every single person that walks in this door is trying to be a professional athlete. Some are just trying to find a community. Some just need a hobby. Some are just trying to get in shape. Some don't know what the fuck they're doing. They're just there, you know? And you want to meet people where they're at. And that's kind of what I experience when I'm there. Like, you meet people where they're at. So if you're trying to go hard and compete, we're going to try to push you to that level. If you're here and you come with your spouse and y'all do it as a couple thing, awesome. You know, everybody's just allowed to do it for their own reasons. And I really like that.
And the 10th Planet warm-ups are a big part of Austin. You already alluded to it, right? Where you were going and you were working with Priscilla and you guys were filming. And I know a lot of like the Instagram where some of you guys have blown up is from the 10th Planet warm-ups. Eddie is a huge believer. He thinks it should be the backbone of every 10th Planet school. How did the 10th Planet warm-ups, like what did it do for your progression, and how did it help you, you know, get to the point where, you know, you got your blue belt and you're starting to move. And again, I saw your competition match. You look great.
Thank you.
Yeah. So time to talk about the 10th Planet warm-ups and how it helps a beginner really learn and get comfortable with jiu-jitsu.
All right. So you might be surprised at my answer to this, but like when I first started, you know, we're doing a lot of warm-ups. Priscilla was very, very big into warm-ups, Priscilla and Curtis, right? Well, during lockdown, they moved away to Alaska, and Gabe Tuttle like took over. And before lockdown happened, Priscilla was running a warm-ups class where you could go and you could specifically learn the warm-ups. And so as a beginner, it's very helpful because you can start to learn paths. You know, everybody has a different experience with it though. But for me, it was very much like, okay, here's this route, here's this route, here's this route. Okay. But some people also have the theory that sometimes it can limit a new person to think those are the only routes they can take and maybe limit their creativity. So, and again, I don't want to speak for anybody, but when Gabe took over, we didn't have warm-ups classes anymore. So honestly, for like a year and a half, I didn't really learn any warm-ups. Now, as somebody who has some experience under her belt, I would love to go back and relearn the warm-ups, because now I'll be able to absorb so much more. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Like, I think it's great because you expose a new person to all this stuff and they probably aren't going to absorb that much, but they're almost getting reps. They're getting looks. And as they continue to get better at jiu-jitsu, they can go back to the basics and be like, oh, now I understand this better. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I've always been blown away by somebody's ability to learn the warm-up or like practice it for a couple of months, and the movements they're able to do look crisp. Like, I would be shocked. Like, I can see a white belt do it, and I might think they're a blue or purple belt because they've hit those movements so smoothly. And I've definitely seen that from 10th Planet Austin people. It has always blown me away. Like, oh, that person's like really moving through the warm-ups with technique and skill, and it looks smooth. It's always kind of blown me away.
So Priscilla is one of those people. So for instance, do you know who I'm talking about when I say Priscilla? Mm-hmm. Okay. If y'all ever watch her videos, again, it's No Gi Pris. Holy shit. She is so graceful in her movements. And I rolled with her for the first time since she's been back. So for the first time in a year and a half, maybe, I rolled her. She fucking kicked my ass. I was kind of like excited. I was like, I knew I was not going to get her. I mean, she's way better than me, but I was like, man, she's going to be impressed with how much I've improved. Within 30 seconds, she's fucking choking me out. You know, that bitch is so like, she fucking knows the warm-ups more than anybody I bet on this planet. She might know them better than Eddie. Like, I'm not kidding. She knows everything. And when we would train the warm-ups, I mean, if it was down to like his hand was flat versus in a fist versus turn down versus turn down, like, she would make us redo it, you know, like perfection. And so when I'm rolling with her today, I was thinking, God, I got to get back on these warm-ups. Like, I'm going to request that they put a warm-ups class back on there, you know, because she knows it. And she even said, like, there was a movement I did wrong today. And she was like, hey, do you remember I don't remember which one she said, but like, do you remember D3? Like, we're supposed to do this here. And this is why, because your hand will get caught here. And I was like, fuck. Like, You know, like it just, she is the prime example of how warmups can be so beneficial. And I understand people have different theories and, but I would love to see the warmups really come back to our gym, as like a group thing versus the individuals will study the warmups. So I'd like to see it as a class again. And I think it will, because I don't know. I think it's extremely helpful.
What's the women community like at 10th Planet Austin? Obviously, you know, you've mentioned Priscilla and your roommate Lauren, but what's that community like? Like how many women would you say are like in the average class there? And how important is it to have like a strong female leader in a jiu-jitsu school?
I think it's so important. I think without leadership, you know, the female presence in a gym will be lacking. There's always going to be those girls that are down to roll with the guys and be with the guys and no matter what, but a strong female presence, I mean, it only benefits your gym, in my opinion. I'll come back to that on the multiple reasons why it would benefit. But you know, you can have, like I kind of feel like I don't know how to say this. I want it to not come across as so. For instance, even having the right mix of introverts and extroverted females, right? So if you have a, sometimes I've noticed if you have a bunch of introverted females, they may not always reach out to each other. Then you bring one or two extroverts in and kind of can pull people together. Or you have that one friend, like there's a girl on our team, Bree. She's so good about like scheduling and planning events and being like, hey, everybody, like we're doing this at this time. Y'all want to come and like checking in, make sure you haven't like that one person that will do that, right? That will bring like people out of their houses, that will bring people out of their little caves and like have them do things together. I mentioned on this earlier, like our girls team for the most part has each other's backs. You know, like people always say girls are drama, but I just see that as the opposite with our group. Like it's very much like, man, you better not be a dude fucking around with one of us and like screwing somebody over because you know, like don't try to fuck with any of these girls because you're gonna have an entire army on you. You know, of women that have that girl's back, which is really dope. We demand, I feel like we demand a certain level of respect, a certain level of respect's the right word, I think. We're here and we're not leaving, you know, we're here to be serious about jiu-jitsu, but also to be serious about our community, you know. Trying to think back on your question. So leadership, what our girls are like. This has a little bit to do with what you asked. What I think is really cool about our gym for me is there's a bunch of girls my size. I don't think that's really normal to have a bunch of 5'2", 120, 115-pound girls running around, but there's like so many. And in an average class, it just depends. Like I usually hit the lunch classes or the 7 p.m. classes. There's always another girl. Always. There's usually maybe four or five in a class. Sometimes there's eight of us. It just kind of depends, you know. Every now and again, I'll go to a class where there's just one or two of us, but there's usually at least four or five. And we have like a girls' message group. So we can kind of be like, hey, is anybody coming to this class? Anybody from that class? Because some girls just prefer to roll with girls. Just helps make it comfortable to you for the new girls who are coming in who maybe aren't comfortable with the guys or whatnot, you know. Helps us make sure nobody gets like left behind or falls through the cracks, you know?
Yeah, it's super important, and I think that's a phenomenal, phenomenal thing to have is just like a woman's chat like that, where especially taking new girls under their wings, because most girls that are blue or purple belts, they're very comfortable training with guys. They've been doing it for a while, but I think definitely making sure that, you know, hey, I'm going to be at this class. Is there going to be another female? I think that's definitely an aspect or something that most schools should do to make you know, their newer women feel more comfortable going to class. Because we'll sign people up sometimes, and a woman sometimes, and it's like they want to know when the other women are training, especially in the beginning. How long did it take for you to get comfortable with like training with guys? And I know you had four brothers, so I'm sure it was pretty quickly.
I was totally fine with it coming in. I think what I wanted to make sure of, and I knew nothing about 10th Planet coming in, the gym environment, anything. Me saying what I'm about to say wasn't because there was anything that I knew of going on. I just my experience walking into male-dominated situations. In the past, I knew I kind of needed to have like I don't know, this maybe sounds bitchy, but like, fuck off on my forehead. Like, I'm here to train. I'm not here to fuck. I mean, I just, to be blunt, like, I just had to, like, I don't know if I probably had to at this gym or not, but I just based that off of my past experiences. And because sometimes being a girl in a male-dominated sport or any situation, people aren't going to take you seriously. And I'm outgoing and I'm chatty, and so people can take that as flirty or whatnot. And so I just knew how I needed to set a precedent before I could really become, like, friendly or familiar with the guys outside of just training with them, you know? And I'm glad I did it that way. I feel like it really served me. And I came in, I also kind of like really glued myself to Priscilla right away, because here's a girl who's already established herself in this environment. I want her to know I'm on her side. I'm here. Just kind of have to work those dynamics. And we became friends fast. And I feel like for the most part, most people took me seriously fairly quickly, and the ones that maybe didn't got on board pretty fast, you know. But I understand how a lot of girls maybe don't have as much experience with guys. Like when I was in college, I was on a co-ed track team. I'm traveling with dudes all the time. I'm always with dudes, you know, always. I mean, I was pole vaulting with guys. I was sprinting with guys. I mean, it's just, we didn't separate by men and women, you know, a track team travels together, you know, and I was on that in high school too. So it's just, I think it would be harder for a girl who doesn't have a lot of experience around boys in those type of environments. Cause I think whether it's a guy who doesn't have experience with girls or a girl who doesn't have experience with guys, it can be hard for them to understand how to relate outside of like a sexual situation, a sexual or a romantic, like if it's, you know, trying to have a relationship. I think that's one, I'm going to go on a tangent here, but this is my one big thing about putting kids in jiu-jitsu at a young age is I really feel like it helps boys and girls learn how to interact with the opposite sex in a physical way that's not sexual, so they don't freak out when that time comes, right? So, like, I kind of grew up in a very religious home, very conservative, and fortunately I had brothers, so I was interacting with guys, but I saw a lot of people who were also in a similar situation really freak out when they're around the opposite sex, like immediately, like, oh, this is forbidden or whatever, and they just couldn't understand how to handle themselves. And I feel like I see these kids that grow up at our gym, and our gym does not really filter stuff, so if like there's kids in an adult class and the adults are cussing or talking about something, like the parents just kind of know you're letting your kids come to an adult class. This is where you're the real world, you know. Obviously nobody's saying like highly inappropriate things or anything like that, but like cuss words, you know. Mm-hmm. And I think that's really cool for these kids to actually be around that without it being like oh, you know. They understand like you're not allowed to do this, but these are the, I don't know how to explain that, you know. I don't have kids. I have like 12 nephews and nieces, but I would love all, like, I, if I had kids one day, I'd want them to experience that type of interaction. And like you can wrestle with this boy and understand what it means like to be in a physical interaction with somebody that's respectful and that's a sport.
I actually love what you said. I've never heard anybody say that. I think this is absolutely fascinating in that you're right. A lot of people, when they come in as an adult into jiu-jitsu, they only see the sexual side, you know. So we'll have maybe, you know, our gym's in Alabama, so you know, we'll have a guy that's married and his wife won't let him train with females. Because she just can't understand how, you know, hey, like you're physically touching this woman in the ground. I don't like that. Like they can only see the sexual side of it. So I think what you just said is insanely fascinating. Cool.
And don't get me wrong, that can happen. There's been a time or two, usually when we'll have visitors come who ask me to roll, and I'm like, you're 250-pound black belt, man. Like, what is the point of us rolling this? Let's be honest here, okay? Like, why? And I'll say no, you know, but not to say everybody who's that size or a black belt is, I don't want to build narratives here, but there are sometimes it can be obvious, but people need to learn how to have those type of interactions. Then it's not going to be that big of a deal, you know? Sorry, I'll keep going back to that point and ranting on it if you don't stop me, but did I make myself clear? Like, I think that's a very healthy thing for kids and adults to learn.
Yeah, I love it. I again, that's, if I don't take anything else from this podcast or the listeners, I think that's a phenomenal point. And I love that. I love what you just said. So going back, I guess, to the leadership side of things, right? How important is it to have a strong women's group and especially leaders in a jiu-jitsu gym that are female?
I think it's very important. One, it's going to help keeping the females coming back. And it also helps, I think it kind of helps delegate some responsibility, right? So men and women are different. They are. They're different. So let's say there is some stuff going on with the females. It's nice to have a female leader to go to about it. Mm. And I would assume, again, I can't put words in their mouth, but I'm sure Curtis loves having Priscilla to help maybe deal with situations like that in the past or the present, you know, to be able to kind of vet that a little bit or to be by his side if a female's coming to him about something, right? It provides just an extra layer, the way I see it, of protection, right? Because people are crazy these days. People can accuse people of anything. But if you have a male coming to a female or female coming to the male, but you have the counterpart there, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I feel like that's important in leadership. You're going to be able to see both sides a little bit better. Just because men and women in general think very differently. That being said, women all think differently from each other. Men, you get what I'm saying, right? Sorry if that's a little bit complex for the listener. I feel like I'm not explaining myself too well. But also, I think it's important for, and I mean this both ways, I think it's important for men to see that there can be a strong female leader and to respect that. I think it makes for a better, well-rounded male if they don't just see women as a second-class citizen to them. But you can get that in any area of life, not just combat sports, okay? So people may harp on that in combat sports. I'm like, well, I've felt that in every area of life, you know, before, and I've not felt that in a lot of areas of my life. But I think it's important for strong men to also recognize and respect, you know, strong women. And see how helpful they can be. And same thing for women to have strong male roles there who they can respect, who are safe. You know, not everybody's had that in their life. Not everybody had a very, you know, I have a great, strong male, you know, father who was safe. You know, safe, good person. A lot of women didn't grow up with that. So it's good for them. I don't know. Do you see what I'm trying to say here?
Yeah, no, definitely.
You asked about the women's side, but I want to,
you know, I think both sides. What jiu-jitsu taught me was to be more vulnerable. Like I needed that. I needed to learn how to express myself, how to say I'm sorry, how to, you know, like I needed some of those more like when you think of a man, it's like you got to be strong, you got to be silent, you've got to take care of business, all this stuff. And I think you need both sides, right? Like you need a gentler side. You need to see like just women are so much better at expressing their emotions. You know, mm-hmm. guys, for the most part, you know, suck at it. They suck at communicating. They suck at like those type of things. And I've learned a lot from women on just how to be more open, you know, and how to express myself better and how to, you know, be more emotionally available for to other people, you know? So I totally see what you're saying in that it's important to have both, you know, not just a woman leader. Like you also need like a strong male leader as well. Like
right.
you have that, you really get the whole piece of the puzzle or the whole
right. Right. I feel like I have to explain that sometimes because I don't consider myself a feminist by any means, but I also am very supportive of strong, empowering women, but also strong, empowering men. Like I see both, you know, definitely don't enjoy anything that's misogynistic. I've experienced that before in and outside of gyms, and that shit is for the birds. I don't respect anybody that's like that. And I also don't respect any woman who's very, I guess, the female side of that. I don't know what you would call that. Who think men are shit, and maybe that's a extreme feminist or something. I don't respect either of those extremes, you know? Yeah, I know I got a little off topic there, but those are the things I think about.
All right, so thinking about training with guys, right? Like what makes a good male training partner? What are you looking for?
Okay. I trained with my friend Joe today. I think his last name's Gomez, Joseph Gomez on Instagram. Awesome training partner. One, he's closer to my size. He was a wrestler. So that helps. But not everybody can help their size, right? But he fucking does not have an ego when he rolls with me. So I like to, when I roll with people, whether they're obviously super much better than me, or maybe they're kind of better than me, or maybe they're at my same level. And even if they're a white belt, like if they're better at something, I like to ask, give me feedback. What do you think I could have done better? I like to open with that because I feel like that really helps bring people's egos down in general. And they're less likely to want to try to prove something and fuck me up, right? But Joe, I don't even have to do that with. I always ask him questions about my roles, but he comes in and he's there to help me work. You know, like I know he can kick my ass. He knows he can kick my ass, but he rolls, he gives me a challenge, but he doesn't like fucking try to hurt me, you know? So I've rolled with guys who are like fucking pancakes when I roll with them. Like, I don't know what to do. Like, it's almost, I think one person in particular, they almost like, it's almost offensive. Like, oh, I just so small. I just don't want to hurt you. I'm like, okay, like this is pointless. I'm getting nothing out of this if you're just going to roll over and die, you know, like give me something. But also I definitely don't want to roll with the guys who are get mad if I tap them, you know, and then all of a sudden they want to show out and they want to fucking break my leg, you know? So I guess bottom line is, guys, like, know your, if you're asking my opinion, like, this is what I tell guys who've asked me this online before, know your own strength. And if a girl tells you you're going hard and you really feel like you're not, just listen to it. She's smaller than you. You're stronger than you think. I've had guys hurt me by total accident before. And I, you know, I get that. And I just let them know, like, hey, you're stronger than you think. Just hold back a little bit. Communicate with the girl. Always communicate. Ask her, do you need more? Do you need less? Like, am I being too heavy? Am I being too light? Ask them if they have an injury before they roll. And then let them work. If you're clearly bigger than her or you're clearly better than her, let her work. If you're like, hey, do you want to go ahead and start a mount or in side control? Is there something specifically you want to work? Or guys, like, maybe don't go for the submission. Like, go to get to the submission and then let her work the escape. Or try to work to your weak side. Like, take advantage of a situation that you're going with a smaller, maybe weaker person than you, and try to work some of your weaknesses so she can actually – does that make sense? Mm-hmm. That's in my situation, right? I'm a blue belt, so most of these guys are much better than me. I've got my friend Destiny. She's around my size. She's a brown belt. She's fucking these dudes up. So y'all better come with your A game when you're rolling with her, but still understand your strength. So bottom line, like in summary, please, like, don't come with an ego. If a girl happens to tap you, whether you let her or she really actually got you, please do not try to come back and prove your manhood. Like, just learn from it and move forward. The ego is going to get her hurt or you hurt. And that's the fucking worst. Like, I hurt my knee rolling with a dude, but I wasn't upset with him at all. It was a freak thing. We were just in a transition. My knee was bound to get fucked up at some point. I know he felt really bad. And I was like, dude, it was jujitsu. It wasn't him. He didn't do anything wrong. He didn't put his, you know, I'm going on a tangent, but yeah, guys, just, it's what makes a good partner for me is somebody who lets me work, but still gives me challenges and communicates. It's like a fucking relationship. Communicate, you know, talk about things you need from each other and it'll be a good role. I feel like that's good advice for whether it's a girl or a guy, you know.
What percentage of guys are good roles for women, are good training partners? Like, what would you say?
That's difficult because I've gotten to the point that I only roll with guys that I know are good training partners. Like, I don't waste my time. And I won't say yes to new white belt boys. I won't do it. They can be sad. I don't know their ego. I have to see them roll or hear from one of the coaches, like, they're okay to roll with. I won't do it. I don't know what that percentage is, because for me, like, every guy I roll with now is a good roll. Cause I've vetted them at this point. I don't know. I feel like it's probably on the lower end.
I know you probably want to say like a low number.
I mean, maybe like 25% of guys are maybe a good role. But well, like I said,
I'll go ahead and say it. I think most guys suck at training with women, you know, and I think it's for the reason you said, whether they're pancaking or dead fishing it out there, or they're, you know, just, I'm going slow, but they're going 98%, you know. So I definitely think it's a huge hole in the community, and definitely like, especially for guys, because look, I do probably I probably do more than 50% of my training with women. I've been doing that for a long time. I'm very lucky here to have a lot of high level. You know, I train with a black belt woman. I easily do 50% of my training with a black belt woman. And it makes me so much more technical. It's been the best thing that ever happened in my jiu-jitsu. I train with Nakaya. You know, So, I mean, Nakaya is kind of one of my main students. And I train a ton with Nakaya. And I'd say just between those two themselves, again, it easily is at least 50% of my training or more. But again, I do see it's a huge, huge, huge hole. And I think it's super important. You said something like vetting, you know, whether it's asking a coach if this guy is approved, like, hey, do you approve him of training with women? And then using the eye test before you just blindly go, yeah, like, let's do it, you know, let's roll. But I think that, again, I always say it all the time. I've been a black belt now, 4 years. And the best thing I ever did with my training is start training with women and like taking that seriously, training with women.
Mm-hmm. It is like, I have guys all the time tell me like when they roll with me and Lauren, like they definitely have to be more technical. I roll with this big guy, Levi. I think he's a blue belt. He's been training forever though. I feel like he must be one of those guys who fell through the cracks. Like he should have an upper belt at some point, but I can't remember if he's blue or purple, but he's a big dude, but he doesn't use his strength on me at all. He just tries to be technical because he has to be. And like, a lot of us are very flexible. So like you may have me kind of in a north-south position, pinning my hips, but as soon as your hands come to my waist instead of my hips, I'm going to fucking flip over and take your back, you know? And they're like, oh shit. Like they don't have to deal with that with dudes. Right. So mm-hmm. It's a whole different type of game. I think I've heard from a lot of guys that it's like what you said, it's helpful for their game. There was something else that you said in there that I think our gym too, I don't know. I've sometimes am not aware of things going on outside of myself when I'm training, but I feel like because we have so many girls who are also assertive, like we also are like, hey, let's roll. Like, hey, let's do this. And a lot of us are very comfortable rolling with guys. I think a lot of the guys at our gym are trained well to roll with girls. So, you know, I see a lot of us roll with different guys. And we have a really large membership base. I mean, 10th Planet Austin was already big when I got there, but we moved over to the space we're in now. So we used to be in the Onnit gym when I first started, like the first 3 or 4 months I was there. And then we moved over to this bigger space. If you've never been there, I mean, it's beautiful, like huge mat space, plenty of showers. We have an MMA side. We have Viking Ninja. We've got weight racks. Like, I mean, it's a huge space. And a 10 round Tuesdays, we easily have like 100 and something people. I mean, it's anyway, we have a large membership base. And then when Gabe got there, he grew it even more. It's just, it's great. So, but we have guys of all different sizes. So we actually have a lot of smaller dudes too. So, those in general tend to be really good roles because they're not as big. Right. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I feel like a lot of our girls have trained the guys well and the guys have been trainable.
We say this to our guys, me and Brandon, it's like, if you're a woman or a giant guy, so if you're the 300-pound guy or you're the 150-pound woman, you have to be assertive because people aren't going to make eye contact with you. They're not going to you're not going to be their first pick, you know? Yeah. And you have to, right? Like what is a recommendation? Like, how would you get somebody to be a little bit more assertive so they're not always the person that's sitting out? Because look, you're going to have to ask people to roll. You're not that 175-pound blue belt guy. Like, everybody wants to roll with that guy.
Yeah. I'm really outgoing, right? So it's, like, not difficult for me. But I feel like when I have been at 10 Round Tuesday and I see a new girl who's kind of on the sidelines – I usually try to be assertive for her. I'm like, do you want a role? Like, do you want me to help you find a role? Like, if she's already rolled with me, I'll say, she's a good role. She's a good role. He's a good role. And I'll even ask them, I'll say, hey, you know, Bobby, will you get a role in with Sarah after this? Will you like, blah, blah, blah. I'll do that for them. But for them to do it on their own, I usually really harp on just communication. So not just being like saying, hey, will you do this? Say, just let them know. You know, I tell the new people, everybody was new. Every single person. If somebody gives you attitude, you let me know because every fucking person was lost when they got here. Maybe except the wrestlers, right? They were a little like knew a little bit what's going on. But other than them, it's like if anybody tries to give you some shit, like don't you forget that they had their first day as well. So just know that going in. And so I just encourage them, letting them like that. Like, everybody was new. Let them know you're new. Ask them to teach you something. I tell our new people all the time, like, instead of trying to remember every single move you just learned in class, pick a concept. Ask your coach, what concept should I work on today? So, for instance, I used to, when I was new, I'd go into a roll, and if I was on bottom, my only thing was to get off my back, get to my side, get to my side, get to my side, get up. That was the only thing I worked on. And when I was on top, it was to widen my base, close back in, widen my base, don't get slipped. That was my only thing I tried to do, and that really, really helped me. Sorry, I feel like I'm not giving you a concise answer, but I give those type of tips to new people and say, if you communicate with somebody, let them know you're injured, let them know you're new, ask them for some advice, they'll be happy to help you. That's always been my experience. And I also follow up with, if somebody is not welcoming to you, you just let me know.
Yeah.
Fuck that bitch on.
And I think a lot of times the precise answer, like, I think what I like about, like, interviews and stuff is, like, the rant is where you usually get
where the money is.
Yeah, it's like, it's where you find the best, the golden advice, right? And I'm always amazed by, like, any person I ever talk to, you know, I always take one or two things away from every, like really good just nuggets of information that, you know, are going to change the way that maybe I think about something, or the way that I teach, or whatever it is. But anyways, you know, thinking about now, like, competing, right? You've competed a handful of times. I'm only aware of the one. You know, you're a blue belt, so it's not like you're on the national stage all the time, but right. You were on the national stage. You went to, you know, you did a match at Third Coast Grappling, and you know, when did you start competing? Like, what do you like about competing? And how do you deal with competition nerves? That's a big thing. Everybody's like, how do you deal with, you know, I'm nervous before I compete.
You see me smiling. I love competing. Okay. I fucking love it. I, like, love it and I hate it. Right. So, like, I've been competing my whole life. I was a competitive gymnast at age 7 through 14. And then I played volleyball and a little bit of soccer, a little bit of basketball, started running track in high school, competed, you know, all through college. So then I had 8 years of my life from 22 to 30 where I didn't do shit as far as sports, and I fucking missed it. You know, I missed feeling like I'm gonna throw up. You know, like, I feel like I'm about to start crying. I, like, love competing so much. he got me worked up here, Matt. What was the question?
I love it. So, I just want to hear about when you started competing in jiu-jitsu and how you deal with those competition nerves.
Okay. So about 2 months in, I remember Curtis looking at me at the old gym, be like, yeah, we're getting you in competition soon. And I was like, what? No, I'm not ready. And he was like, yeah, you just got to do it. And so I think it was actually like 4 months in when I started competing, just, you know, at a local tournament. I competed, I had 17 matches my first year. So that was over a couple of different tournaments. I think the most matches I already have at one tournament was like on at World Open. It's like 5 matches, but usually I just get like 2 or 3, 2 at most usually, because there's not a lot of girls in my weight class. So I competed 17 times, like, within my first year. And I really didn't find my groove on dealing with my nerves in jiu-jitsu until like this last super fight. So, like, at the local tournaments, it wasn't as big of a deal. I think because I've competed so much, and now, like, when I went in as white belt, I was like, nobody expects anything of me. But in college, I was there on a scholarship. People expected something from me, right? That was more nerve-wracking. But, like, oh, I'm competing at this, like, gymnasium with, like, 50 other people competing. Yeah, nobody gives a fuck about me, you know? Like, that's a nice feeling, you know? It's nice. It's like, I know it sounds weird, but, like, nobody gives a fuck. Even if I put it on Instagram, people, like, remember it for, like, 5 minutes, and they're on the next thing, right? Like, I'm barely on people's minds is the way I see it. So, like, that was easy. But when I started doing super fights, so I've done 2 super fights, both with Third Coast Grappling. My very first one was really, really nerve-wracking. I do not like how I prepared mentally leading up to that. I try to put myself in that feeling of walking onto this stage. I did it like every day leading up to see if I could force myself to love it. Cause that's what I would do with track, right before the gun would go off. Like, I would force myself to love the fact that I was going to black out while I was running. I'm going to run so hard, I'm going to black out and throw up. Like, I fucking love the pain. Like, that's what I would teach myself. But with the super fight, and again, I'm going on a tangent, it was a little bit different because of my Instagram following. So like by the time I had my first super fight, I think I maybe had like 30,000 followers, right? So already kind of a lot of eyes on me, right? More than what would have happened if I didn't have a following. It was televised. It was very, very nerve-wracking. I almost, like, my first minute of the match, I felt like I completely forgot jiu-jitsu. I was like, what the fuck just happened? You know, like, this girl just came at me hard. I didn't know what was happening. And I was just trying to survive, you know? So the second time around, I did it completely different. As far as mentally preparing, I just was like, fuck it, not going to think about it. I'm just going to train. I'm just going to fucking train. And I didn't watch this girl's matches. I knew nothing about her. Nothing. The girl, Destiny Word, which if y'all don't follow her, you should. She's the fucking best. I think it's just at Destiny Word. It might have an underscore in between it. God, she was so helpful for training me. She's a brown belt. She's got such great technique. We trained every fucking day. And I was like, I'm just going to fucking play my game. We didn't even worry about that girl's game. I'm just a blue belt. I don't really need to worry about her game yet. I need to just keep working my own, you know, is how I feel about it. And I went out there, and the day of my match, I didn't compete till like 9 o'clock that night. I went on a hike. I took my dogs to the water. I hung out with my friend Priscilla. I fucking did a light body weight workout. I did some laundry. Like, I did my normal routine that I do for Saturdays. Take the dog to the water. Be productive. I worked on Dog Fight Dojo. I made some sales, you know, like I fucking went about my life. You know, I ate what I normally eat because that was another thing. For my first super fight, I was too nervous to eat. And my car ride up there was just fucking horrible. There was just like a situation going on. And I just was like really fucked with my head. And it was just bad. Whereas this super fight, I went up with two of my really good friends that film for Dog Fight Dojo, and they keep me laughing, and we didn't talk about the match. We just, you know what I mean? So I guess the more concise answer here is, for me, I go about my normal day. I'm like, this is how I go in. I fucking go in on Tinder on Tuesday and I roll after an exhausting fucking day. All right. So maybe I don't go lift at the gym. I'm smart about that stuff. And I make sure I get good sleep. I don't go out and party or anything like that. But I just go about my day. Like, this is, and I remind myself that, like, literally nobody cares about this as much as I do. And maybe my coach, right? Literally, I am nobody. I'm fucking nobody. It doesn't matter if a lot of eyes are on me. I'm nobody. So as soon as I win or lose, people are going to celebrate, or they may talk shit, but then they're on to the next person and don't even remember me. Do you know? Like, think about how many times you've watched a match and somebody like, oh shit. But as soon as the next match was on, you're not even fucking thinking about it. Right?
Yeah. I'm kind of weird though. I remember a jiu-jitsu, I'm kind of like, I don't know if I'm like a savant. I don't know. I remember like all the matches.
Okay,
like,
well,
I remember like your
people
match.
Like you. I'm like, okay, we need to get you another hobby. But I'm just
yeah,
kidding.
Yeah. No, exactly. That's kind of like, what do you do on Fridays? It's like, no, I teach jiu-jitsu. I study. And anyway, but like, yeah, like I remember your match. Like, I don't know. I just remember matches. But yes, most people, we always kind of joke like, look, nobody cares. I completely agree with you.
Like, I'm not that important is what I remind myself. I'm just not that important. And if people are following me on Instagram, if I'm worried like, oh no, people are going to unfollow me because I lost. Well, they shouldn't have been following me in the first place because I'm no amazing professional athlete. You know, I hope they're here for the jokes because, you know, here no, for the feet. Then they
exactly. I think everybody that, the old feet picks. But no, for sure. And I definitely think it's a healthy mindset to have. You know, I competed a ton at purple and brown belt. And I remember, especially at purple belt, like I was so obsessed with winning. It was difficult. It was difficult to perform at my best because I felt like I was, I wanted to win an ADCC trials or do this or that. And I put so much pressure on myself that I didn't enjoy the day, even just like the whole like days leading up to the event. I'd just be like in my own head. And, you know, I think it's super important to just get to the point where you are being productive and you are just treating it as another part of your life. Just another day.
Yeah. And
good advice.
Like before my match, like there's a video compilation of like you know, the moments leading up to the match, I was fucking dancing. Like, I was like, man, I'm fucking pumped. I'm excited, you know? And I was excited. It was fun. And I was really, really fucking hard on myself growing up in sports. You know, I needed that scholarship to go to college. How else was I going to pay for it? You know, like I needed it. I needed to be the best. And I would punish myself. Like if I didn't, you know, if I missed a serve in volleyball, I'd go run laps on the track after. I'd run home and then run back and get my car and drive home. Like, see, people saw that as dedication and hard work, but mentally it was really unhealthy for me. If I like missed, if I dropped the baton or anything, I would take the spikes in my shoes and I'd fucking, you know, spike my own leg. It was really unhealthy. You know, I had really, really high expectations on myself, which I think can make crazy, crazy good athletes. But I look back and I could have enjoyed my sports a lot more if I had not let it define me so much. I know, I'm sure people would argue with me on that because a lot of amazing athletes are defined by their sport. But one thing I love about jiu-jitsu is that it is a massive part of my life, but it's not the only thing in my life. It feels like it sometimes and I kind of like it, right? But if the sport literally was made illegal tomorrow, I have other things in my brain. You know, I am somebody else outside of it. And that was really good for me personally to engage in a sport in that way. To not be spiking myself after I dropped it, but you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I don't think when I first started competing in jiu-jitsu, I was still kind of had that old mindset. Kind of like, I remember I won my first match and it was against a blue belt and I was a white belt and we all went out to eat after. And my coach was like, you're not going to wear your medal? And I was like, no, why would I wear it? I expected to win. So of course I won. It was kind of my mindset. I came in expecting to win. So why would I flaunt the fact that I won? It's kind of like, you know, I don't know how to explain that. Like, why are you getting praised for doing your chores as a kid? You're supposed to be doing it. So don't be getting praised for it. It was like that kind of mindset I had. Right. And, instead of enjoying my victories, does that make sense?
Yeah. I totally am vibing with you because a brown belt, even especially like, same way growing up, like sports was how I found value in myself as a human being. And I remember just like, if I had a bad practice or I didn't tap this guy this many times, or I performed lower than my expectations, you know, it affected other areas of my life. And I think it's really tough, especially for people that are super competitive, to kind of stop, you know, like, look, I don't need to put my value as a human being into my sports performances. So,
yeah. And can I keep harping on that for a minute?
Let's go.
So like, even I can just, maybe somebody out there can relate to this. Like, even as I'm saying this stuff, you know, talking about a healthier mindset and not letting it define me, I can hear kind of that voice in my head saying, oh, that's something a weak person would say. That's an excuse for losing. Like, cause that's how I've talked to myself for years. You know, like telling myself I can't make myself any excuses for failure. Right. And, fuck, to be honest, like I went through a lot of therapy to help me think differently, right? But it's still like that, maybe that competitiveness in me that drives me to be like, no, fuck that shit. Like if you were telling me about this, I would totally understand. I'd be like, yeah, don't talk to yourself that way. But I hold myself to a different standard, you know? But it's like, how narcissistic is that? You know, like why do I hold myself above to this higher standard or this unhealthy standard, you know? I hope I'm explaining myself well, but like I still struggle with those thoughts and negative self-talk, even with a bad practice. That's kind of what triggered that for me when you said that. Like I went against Priscilla today. It was not a bad practice. I know she knows I've improved. She told me, like, you've really improved a lot. But, man, going with her made me realize again, fuck how bad I am, you know? Like, God damn it. I'm, like, so fucking shitty at jiu-jitsu. And I had to fight a little bit today internally to be like, God damn, what the fuck, you lazy piece of shit. Like, what's wrong? Like, why have you let everything else get in the way and distracted you recently? And, oh, you have a knee injury? So what? You know, like, yeah, you know, I had to like turn that. It still happens. And I have to turn it off and be like, dude, you just got a great role in with Priscilla. And she told you all of these things you could improve upon. And you're going to use that for next time. I don't know. So learning to accept quote unquote failure and also learning to celebrate my victories. I mean, I even did that with grad school. I remember my family didn't show up for my undergraduate. Actually, my brother got married the day I was supposed to graduate from undergrad. Graduate, you know, whatever. Okay, cool. Everybody, I started college expecting to graduate. So when grad school happened and people were sending out invitations to their families about graduating, I'm like, I remember in my head thinking, why the fuck are you doing that? I started grad school knowing I'm going to graduate. So why am I celebrating something that I'm expected to do? You know what I mean? Like, it was that kind of, that's kind of shitty. Yeah. I can't believe I'm admitting that on air, but like my family's like, oh, we're coming. I was like, why? Like, did you not expect me to make it? Like that kind of like, what the fuck, Mary? Anyway, I've worked through that. I'm working through that.
Look, we're all a work in progress. And again, I feel like me and you, I feel like we could spend the next 3 hours because I am vibing with so much of what you're saying, because the same thing, like, you know, like my grandmother just died. Okay. So I'm actually going to the funeral Saturday.
Okay.
And I'm like, Matt, you're missing like coaching opportunities. You're supposed to teach this class. You need to train. You're going to miss your rounds. I'm thinking like all this stuff, like me, like, and I'm like, look, I know like in the past, I might've even skipped this funeral just because I couldn't miss training. And I'm so much better about, you know, like, no, I can skip 2-3 days to be with my family and be around people that, you know, I love that need me right now, but I hear you.
Is it almost because, like, I feel like to somebody else, they might be like, God damn, that's selfish or whatever. But yeah. It's almost like this selfishness aside, it's almost this drive of, like, if you miss for any reason, you better be dead to miss. Is it almost that, like this, like?
For me, it's I love improving. Like, I love, and I kind of have that pound the stone idea that each day I'm there, I get just a little bit better. And even if they're like, you might not be able to see it, or they might not be able to see it, or maybe even I don't recognize it that day, I know that the more I pound that stone, a year from now, that stone's going to split and everybody's going to notice. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah. I did you give this analogy on the last podcast we were on? Somebody did. Cause I remember that. I love that analogy.
Okay. Yeah. It was me. Cause I say that a lot.
I really like that. It's eye opening. It's something I kind of say to a lot of people, new people, is I'm jumping, okay, but is people get really frustrated. I got really frustrated in the beginning when I would be learning something, and then even 10 minutes after class trying to review it in my head or redo it, I'm like, fuck, I just spent an hour trying to learn this and it's gone, you know? And I did that myself a lot in grad school. I would study, have this test, but then, and I could tell you, everything about fucking every vein, artery, nerve in the body. I knew everything. And then 3 months later, after not using it, I knew nothing. Right. And so I was so hard on myself. It would like literally keep me up at night being so pissed at myself for not having, you know, the mind of somebody with a, what do you call that? Photographic memory. Right. So in jujitsu, same thing. And I started to realize it was like taking the joy out of jujitsu for me trying to be a perfectionist and OCD about it. And I started reminding myself, okay, jujitsu is kind of like advertisement. It takes like 7 times for somebody to see something before they buy it. So if I go to your class today and I don't absorb it all, well, you know what? Somebody or you is going to teach something similar in maybe a couple weeks or tomorrow or the next day. And then that second time I see it, I absorb a little bit more because I've already seen it now twice. Then third, then the fourth, and by the seventh time, I'm like, fuck, I know this. And so instead of walking away and thinking that practice was wasted, I remember that my brain is going to be jogged when I come back. And I think about that with grad school too. I can't remember exactly everything about COX-2 inhibitors and the inflammation on the body and what it does with your stomach, but I know enough to where if I Google it and I get a little note on it, I'm like, oh yeah. I remember it now. I watched a little YouTube video. I'm not totally lost. So I value that. Because realistically, nobody can remember every single thing. I hear my voice in my head saying, that's what stupid people say. No, it's like, seriously, Mary, like, that's true, you know? So I try to tell new people, like, don't get so upset about if you missed something in practice or you forget something you tried so hard to remember. It's in there. Your brain has seen it. And when it comes up again, you'll remember a little bit more. That, at least in my experience. Give yourself a little grace. So you can enjoy it more.
Yeah, that's a beautiful word, grace. You know, definitely we all could be a little bit more, understanding with ourselves, for sure. Well, I could keep talking about that stuff for a long time, but there's one question I really wanted to ask you as well. So I want to move on and thinking about just black belts in general, right? Or just people in the gym. We've seen a lot of sexual assault cases recently. There's always stories of guys being, you know, whether it's just they're trying to hook up with girls at their gym or they're, you know, getting in, you know, girls' DMs or they see a new cute white belt and they're like, hey, like, I'm going to shoot my shot, you know. What type of standard should be set, especially from the leadership? You know, you're a black belt. So-and-so's a black belt. They run a school. They run, like, what should we expect from black belts? And what is inappropriate? Like, when is it crossing the line? You know, like, what is crossing the line? And what should people know is crossing the line?
I'm thinking. I feel like sticky question, you know. Yeah, you know, a lot of things, you know, recently that we've heard about, like a lot of things have gone on, but that's in any part of the world, you know. I don't feel like jiu-jitsu needs to just get a bad rap because those things have gone on. It's in every sport I've been in, right? And I can only speak from the side of a female, and I can only speak from my side of things because I've only ever been me, you know. I've never been a guy. Never been anybody else, and I don't think there's always a black and white answer to things. I think there is a lot of gray, right? I've seen plenty of gym relationships that blossomed into beautiful marriages or beautiful partnerships. I've seen things, you know, I've seen things like burn down, you know. But as far as, you know, what it means to be a black belt, I've also never been a black belt, but the way I've always viewed it is a black belt is just supposed to be a leader, right? Just like in any other part of life. And so what I see of specifically males, male leadership that I respect is like a servant leader. You know, not this like, I'm a fucking goddamn alpha. You have to respect me because of this belt color. Like, I'm sorry, but your belt color will never earn respect from me, male or woman. I mean, as far as like, I will respect your jiu-jitsu, absolutely. Or even somebody just saying they're my coach, you know, like I respect our coaches, you know, but somebody saying they're a coach, I will respect you in terms of coach to student, right? I pay to be here. You're not paying me to be here. I pay to be here, you know? So I expect mutual respect, right? But if a coach tries to get involved with me in any aspect, appropriate, inappropriate, outside of being my coach, I don't transfer that respect over. We're now in a different part of life, right? If a coach tries to get involved in my personal life, even that's different. Now you're involved and now we're talking as friends or people outside of the gym, right? Kind of going on a tangent. But as far as what's appropriate, in my experience, I feel as though if it's a black belt male to a female, don't use that belt for personal gain. Leave that belt on the mat. That belt is for coaching. If you want to, I think if they want to pursue a female in any capacity, one, make sure she's age appropriate. Common sense here, guys. You know, don't get involved with somebody who's already involved to somebody else or married. You know, nobody's perfect. Those things happen. But, sorry, I feel like there's so much I want to say and it's like hard for me to get it out, but probably best to do those things outside the gym, you know? I think some of the best relationships happen with people that are in the gym, but be respectful of that, even though maybe you're the coach or your management there, like, this is part of her life too. This is part of her home too. You know, you don't get to just claim it all because you work there or you coach there or anything like that, you know? Hold on, let me gather my thoughts here. I think a black belt should always create a safe spot, a safe space. It shouldn't be something I feel uncomfortable or dangerous with in any way, whether somebody's coming at me romantically or maybe they're just coming at me sexually, right? I mean, that's, you know, that can be very consensual. Two people can be involved in that and it'd be fine. But whatever the case is, if you are pursuing a female at your gym or at another gym or whatnot, she should feel safe to say no to the date, to the hanging out platonically, to the role. She should not feel backed into a corner. And hopefully she's, you know, feels strong and assertive enough to say no, no matter what. But that's not always the case. Having a black belt does give you certain leverage and power. You know, I know it can make you feel as though, like, if you say no to someone, maybe they're going to take your whole life away. You know, maybe they're going to not let you at the gym anymore. Am I being clear? Mm-hmm. I guess. If you're going to roll with a girl, like, if your intent is only to flirt and to touch her, like, take that outside of the gym. Like, don't make the gym an unsafe spot, you know? Like, number one at the gym is jujitsu, right? So, and obviously that becomes different when you're dating somebody, I think, at the gym. And of course people are going to flirt, they're dating, they're together, like, whatever. So don't hear that. You know, it depends on the situations, but I would hate to see, and I'm getting a little emotional. I've had girls reach out to me a lot online. Telling me about their situations and asking my advice, you know, and it's heartbreaking to see. And of course I'm only hearing one side. And fortunately, I haven't really experienced that too much. I feel like I'm pretty strong when people come at me. I can, especially, it's mainly people online. My gym's very good about keeping us protected and safe. Curtis is very much protective of us, Curtis and Priscilla. You know, they watch out for us. If somebody makes us feel uncomfortable, I guarantee they're not coming back. You know, it's all I have to say is this person is making me super uncomfortable and that person will not be back at the gym. You know, and I really don't have to do that. I feel like they vet people pretty well, you know. Feel free to guide me on these questions more because I feel like I'm kind of spiraling a little bit, but I think it's wrong to use your status to one, force anybody to do anything, or to make them feel as though if they don't do something, they won't get coaching attention anymore, or they won't get opportunities to compete, or they won't get opportunities to be involved in group events. I'm just kind of saying stuff that I've heard when these girls contact me, you know, assuming all that is true, what they say, you know. That is wrong, you know. Treat these girls, and again, I'm talking just directly from a black belt male to women, right? I mean, how do you want someone to treat your sister, your daughter, your mom? You know, come at it first with respect. Decide maybe outside of the gym what things are going to be. Keep lines of communication open.
Yeah, I've got a big issue, and I've talked about this openly, you know, with the guys that use jujitsu as their dating pool or use jujitsu as like, oh, this kind of serial date. And I've been to gyms. I've traveled a bunch all across the country. And, you know, I just hear guys like talk and they're like, oh, so-and-so's dating, like they've dated her and then they've dated her. And then they're all at the same gym. And, you know, that always kind of shocks me, you know, that that happens at places, you know, as again, you've just got, and it's always like, you know, a couple of guys will just kind of serial date the girls, they'll get a new cute girl, and then they're all vying to try and date her. And I think
don't do that.
Yeah, 100%. I think there's zero, nothing wrong with
only two girls in your jujitsu gym. It's like you fucking try to date all the new people.
Yeah, no, exactly. And I don't think there's anything wrong with somebody dating somebody at their gym or dating their black belt. But I mean, to me, if you know this black belt's got a history, you know, he's dated multiple of his students. You know, if something develops over months, like, oh, hey, a new person comes in, like, cause I know black belts that have dated their students and they're still dating them or they've gotten married.
It's,
and
it's a lot of great relationships like that.
Yes. Beautiful thing. But again, I'm talking about the people that, you know, the guys that, you know, are always in girls' DMs asking to give private lessons or asking, you know, or sending them weird messages. Yeah, exactly. And That's got to stop. Like that's there's no place in jiu-jitsu for that. And I'm very adamant. And like, look, if you're one of those guys, like you're a creep. Like if you're always in girls' DMs, if you're always like sending messages, if you're, you know, hey, I'm a 220-pound black belt. I'm a black belt, and I hate rolling with new people. I do. I just don't get anything out of it. Like go roll with the blue belt. I'm not gonna go roll like keep picking out a female because she's like that's weird. It's just weird, you know.
And it's obvious.
It's obvious, and it happens though. It definitely happens.
Yeah, it does. There was something you said in that I wanted to touch on was you said relationships do develop.
Well, it's the serial, like the
keep going with that. It will come back to me.
Yeah, no, it's the serial dating. It's the guys I know that, you know, that they've dated this girl and then that girl and then this girl and this girl leaves their gym. And it's really common in California because there's so many schools and women train way more out in California. But, I hear it all the time. You know, again, if something happens organically and there's the communications there, then let's go. I'm all for it. You know, I love seeing beautiful relationships, right?
Yeah.
But it's the ones where, you know, it's almost like it's praying almost, you know.
Yeah, okay. Great word. If you know yourself and you know you are going after this girl as a conquest or to get there before another guy does, or you're preying on women, please fucking do that somewhere else. God damn it. Like leave us the fuck alone. It is very natural though for I have fallen for people that I train with before, you know, like it is, I'm with these people all the time. You develop friendships and relationships and gosh, I am not guilt-free of that, you know, but the whole preying on people, like that shit, like fucks with people, especially like some of these young, vulnerable girls coming in fuck. I mean, when I first started jiu-jitsu, I had broken up with this guy. I've been dating a long time. And there was this black belt from a different gym came in. And I like was like, oh, my gosh, like, I want to get jiu-jitsu. This guy's, like, involved in jiu-jitsu. My other guy wasn't. Like, I kind of, like, jumped in. I had no idea what I was doing. And it was stupid. It was my mistake. It was stupid, right? But, like, fuck, this person was totally preying on people. And it wasn't just me. It was multiple people. Now, fortunately, I am who I am. As soon as I figured it out, I was like, get the fuck out of here. And you know, my coach has my back, and like I didn't even tell him about it, you know. But that's how much of a good like protector he is somebody else, because like I don't like to bring that shit to the gym. You don't bring the shit there. But like somebody else had kind of told him, and that person wasn't allowed to come around for a little bit because they were doing it to multiple people, right? Mm-hmm. Like that's dope. Thanks a lot. I appreciate you. I didn't need you to fight that battle for me, but I also appreciate that you did, you know. But I also see people's argument. They might hear this and be like, well, I want to date somebody who does jiu-jitsu. So once again, I'm in a spot where I gotten back together with a guy that did not do jiu-jitsu, dated him for years and years and years, is not involved in any mixed martial arts. And I know moving forward in my next relationship, I want to be with somebody in this field. I know that this is what I want to do with my life. Cause for me, you know, I have Dogfight Dojo. I've got the Instagram platform. So I may not be Grace Conundrum one day, but I do feel like I could do so much of this with my, like my life with this, you know, and help build and create platforms and share my platform with other people who are way more talented than me and get them out there, but don't have their own platform yet. Do you know what I mean? Like I can, that's kind of the essence of Dogfight Dojo for me, is push and grow my friends as well. And I want somebody that's going to do that alongside of me. I know that. I mean, I'm 32 years old. I know what I want, you know, and, but fuck, I'm at my gym all the time. How am I supposed to find somebody outside of the gym? You know what I mean? It's like, ooh, but I also don't want to like, you know, fuck anything up my own gym. So I think the key is really communication. You know, it's going to be choosing to be around dating somebody who's a fucking adult. Let's communicate about this. Let's understand, like, this is a shared space, right? I know we kind of got a little away from what's appropriate and what's inappropriate. I think it's more like our one thing can be appropriate for some people that aren't appropriate for other because of the level of maturity, right? Mm-hmm. So if me and, you know, Bobby Joe, whatever, I'm making somebody up, you know, he's a, can communicate mature male who also goes to the gym, and we can talk about keeping this slow, keeping this on the DL, like communicating if, you know, things are going a little too far and we don't think we can back out and still be at the same gym. Like, how do we navigate these waters? Like, have those conversations up front, even if it feels like it's a little too serious to talk about for something casual, things get sticky. Let's have a contingency plan kind of up front, right? But back to like, again, what's appropriate. I think bottom line is like when people, whether it's a male or female, use their power of any sort to back you into a corner, to influence you in a way that keeps you from thinking for yourself, that holds a carrot over you in the sense of, you know, oh, if you're with me, all these doors will be opened. And if you're not me, you guarantee they'll be closed. That shit's evil.
It's disgusting, you know, and I'm here. I definitely completely agree I disapprove of, you know, a lot of the stuff that's been coming out, and especially with, you know, some of the things that people might go like, it's weird again, like messaging and ask, like, hey, I'm a black belt. Can I give you a private lesson? Like there are so much better ways to go about communicating and just be normal. Don't be a fucking weirdo. You know, yeah. It blows my mind how like, I'm like,
dude. And if you all need advice on how to be normal, shoot me a message. I will vet your messages for you. I've done that for a couple guys who are like, hey, I really don't want to creep this girl out that I work out with, but I really want to take her on a date. Can I say this? I've had one or two guys hit me up about that. I'm like, I'm happy to vet this for you. You know,
that sounds like a $1 million business idea, right? I feel
like
there.
That's a service I should provide. I want to get on Patreon, you know?
Yeah. Mary B's filtering to help you get more dates. I shouldn't say more dates.
Help
get
you not date be creepy. With... I'm going to help you not be creepy.
Yes. Not be creepy and find the girl at your gym.
But I can help you not be a fucking creep. You know? That being said, there's something else I wanted to say with that was, what did I say right before that? Oh, you said people sliding into the DMs.
Yeah. So you just were talking about holding power over somebody's head, you know, like, you know, you're not going to get promoted or you're not going to be involved.
Yeah. Again, I'm happy to, this is what I was going to say. I also am a strong believer that people can change. I'm not someone in these type of situations to right off the bat be like, oh, they said they're sorry. Yeah, girl, trust them again. But, you know, these situations that have been coming up, I have no idea about that. Like, I heard about them, and I think it really fucking sucks for everybody involved. I am somebody who's very much like, there are right and wrong. I do believe that, but there's also a lot of gray area. I'm not talking about the situations that have recently come up, but I do believe people can change. For instance, I'll be very vague, but there was a guy at one point who I had to call out about something, to his girlfriend. And he apologize. And of course, I'm like, well, you know, in your head, you're like, well, yeah, you got caught. Of course, you're going to apologize. And from that moment on, has continued to show like good character for years now. And really took what I said to heart and how that affected his girl and different things. And it just, I nipped something in the bud right away, right? And he changed. Or maybe it was the first time he's going down a road that was just inappropriate, and boom, he was like, what the fuck am I doing, right? Fuck, I've done inappropriate things, right? And lots of areas of my life, I've done a lot of stupid shit, and I hope the people that were involved with me understand that I can change and that I don't want that to be part of my character. So I can't not extend grace to other people, but I think part of that is being shrewd, right? And I mean, Bible quote, but like, innocent as a dove, shrewd as a serpent, you know? By no means am I going to pass absolute judgment on somebody else. Because I don't know, I feel like I understand human nature, and everybody is capable of anything. If you think you're not, I think you're lying to yourself, you know? But be shrewd and be wise about who we put around ourselves and who we let into this family. And that's something one of my teammates had to tell me before. Like, I do pride myself, I don't know, pride myself, but I like to be welcoming. I want people to feel welcome. I want the underdogs there, you know, but sometimes I've allowed people in that take advantage of us, you know. I don't mean like physically, but like I've been taken advantage of for plenty of times, like emotionally or mentally or resources, right? And I've had friends be like, you've got to stop being so friendly, right? And I've got to kind of quit being stupid. I can't just be like, oh, I just want to be nice. Like, I have to be more shrewd. And sometimes I have to rely on my girlfriends or my guy friends to say, you are being taken advantage of in this situation, you know, because I don't want to believe it. And I think as a team, we have to watch each other's back and who we let into the gym. Like, I think we should be welcoming. That's how you also grow a business. You know, if it's just like, oh, we're just a click, you're not going to grow your business. So money-wise, you need to be a welcoming gym to have a successful business, but you also have to weed out the poison, right? If there's poison in your gym, it's got to go. And hopefully that person will learn and change, and maybe they don't get a second chance at your gym. I understand that. I do. But I also don't condemn that person to like eternal damnation the rest of their life. You know, it's like, I hope you change. You just may not get a chance to prove that here. Yeah.
Agreed. Definitely agree. Mary, it's been an absolute pleasure having you on. Seriously, I've really enjoyed this conversation. I really like the way you think about certain things. And I definitely want to do it again. I want to have you back on to talk about Dogfight Dojo sometime.
Yeah.
Running like a business in jiu-jitsu. I think it's super cool on that end. But final thoughts. You got anything else you want to say? Where can people follow you?
I think one thing I just want to make sure people understand is when they hear me talk is I am not perfect. So especially in this last conversation, I'm not perfect. I have done my fair share of stupid and inappropriate things and may not always be seen that way because I'm the girl, right? But I'm not perfect. So please just know that when you hear anything I say, take it with a grain of salt. But if you're new to jiu-jitsu and you're struggling, reach out to somebody in the community. You know, if you've been in jiu-jitsu and you're thriving, look for the people that are struggling. You know, you might be saving someone's life legitimately by keeping them involved in your community. And if we all go into it with our egos down, you know, I joke about having big dick blue belt energy all the time. I fucking love joking about that shit, but like, you have to go in without an ego. And I think our gyms run much more smoothly. As far as where y'all can follow me, Instagram's like my main thing. It's at Mary, M-A-R-Y _A_B. I'll have a YouTube up soon. And my business page is at Dogfight Dojo. It's, jiu-jitsu gear and a lot of jiu-jitsu content and tutorials. And that's the main stuff. It's been awesome to be on here, Matt. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Mary. Guys, you guys make sure you follow Mary and definitely check out her Dogfight Dojo gear. I love the emblem. Again, I can't wait to ask some more questions about that. But until next time, you guys know I love and appreciate you. You guys have a great weekend.